dialogue was where? Was Ratzonchem of a Karchem Yutzog. Correct? Yeah, he gave in. L'chur duos ad Hashem, Ratzonchem of a Karchem Yutzog. Gam tapchem yelech imachem. Yeah, gam tapchem yelech imachem. He gave in. He gave in to that request. The only thing he wanted was what? Was the tzon and the bakar should remain. The tzon and bakar should remain. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So what does it mean he gave in? So he gave in, it makes sense. In other words, he said, gam ten, he says, gam tapchem yelech imachem. He was ready to accept that idea. He ready to accept that idea. That I understand, okay, that's, I'm ready to accept that. I mean, you can do that. But the only thing I can't, the only thing is, you must leave the the bucker on its own. So, Vayom Moshe, no, Gamata titen biyadenu zvachem va'olos, v'asinu la Hashem alekenu, v'gam miknenu yelech imonu, lo sisho er parso, ki mimenu nikach lavod esad Hashem alekenu, v'anachnu no lo neida ma navod esad Hashem adoinu shomo. It's an interesting thing. So what did he say? He said like this. He said, no. He says, okay, in terms of the ideas of the religion, he accepted, he's going to allow them to do it. But there was one more thing that Moshe Rabbeinu added. Because he said, leave the buck on its own. Now what's your problem? First, you tell me you want to go serve, so that there's a utilitarian factor. So that's the Gevurah. Now you're telling me, no, this is the whole destiny. Okay, this is the way to fight. Okay, do that. But gam tapchem leilam. But now, what is the bakar and tzon? How do you explain that? What is that? So Moshe Rabbeinu gave him an answer. He said like this. He says, no, you see, it says the gamit lo sekimi menu nikach lavod esad Hashem alakenu va'nachnu lo neidan ma navod esad Hashem adoy neshama. You see, there's one problem. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah always think that they know what their gods want. They know in advance. You see, they know in advance. They want it, whether it's human sacrifice or whether it's animal sacrifice, whatever it is. They think they know what's going to appease the gods. So Moshe said, see, you're making a mistake again. Over here, we don't know what the Tzivui Hashem will be. It's not something that we don't conjure up. What's the right method of Avodas Hashem? Avodas Hashem has to be taught to us, and the only way we know is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzivui. So we don't know exactly what the tzivui is going to be. So we have to be prepared. That was the last straw. He wouldn't mind if they took along a few sheep. I mean, whatever. But that makes sense. But vanachnu lo neida ma navod esad Hashem ad bein Hashem. Maybe Hashem will say swat everything. We don't know what he's going to say. We have no idea. The tzivui, what we do is determined by the tzivui Hashem, not determined by our imagination. You see, that was the end. He says, "Yishama v'chal tosef rosh panai ki biyom rosh chal panai tamos." That was listening. Exactly. It seems that idea bothered him more than the... So you have to understand, that idea bothered him more than the other ideas. Every idea was progressively more difficult for him to accept. But the last idea was the hottest. And it's true. Even in today's world, you see. In today's world, what is lo so sifu la dova shenochi mitzav eschem v'lo sigru mimeno? But what's the big problem with the Bnei Noach? Problem is, they want to add things. They want to create their own ceremonies. And what's the problem? Unfortunately, it's even a problem in Klal Yisrael. People are unhappy with Tayag Mitzvahs. They want to add things themselves. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say. Whatever he says, that's what it is. Not more, not less. That was the idea Moshe Rabbeinu taught. And that was the thing that disturbed, it's an interesting thing, that disturbed him, that was the final straw. That disturbed him more than anything else. It's an amazing thing. But the Torah gives you insight. Like I said, I mean, the Ramban says, everybody says, Torah doesn't tell you everything that went on. There's a long dialogue. For instance, when it says, Lo yadati es Hashem, you can be sure Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him that Hashem means the Mamzi kol nimtzo, and he had explained to him. He could just say, he spoke very lengthily, but the Torah, of course, like Ramban, like Ramban, it abbreviates. Torah, you can't give down a whole dialogue. It just abbreviates what's necessary in order to glean the central themes, the main ideas that went on there. But it's an amazing thing that the Torah shows you the mind of the Ovid of Avodah Zarah. And what was the final straw was the idea that he said, you're in a world of imagination. Your whole world is nonsensical. Nonsensical from all standpoints. And you even think, you imagine, you think what you know what your gods are want from you. That itself is the greatest stupidity, intrinsically. We don't know. We don't know. We have to see. See if Hashem will tell us. That's what. Then he said, Lo sosif od ros ponai, he was perfect. Al tosif ros ponai, ki biyom ros ponai tomos. Then already threatened him with death. It's an interesting thing. It's another interesting thing. You see what he says over here? He says, Gam ato titen, vayom amoshe, gam ato titen biyodenu zvachan va'olos, vasinu la Hashem alakinu. Why did he say that before? That wasn't the original request. Suddenly, he says, Gamato ti, well, now he's adding, now we're ready. Now I'd say, what you're saying. Now now I'd say, look, I'm a melech, and now you're starting to, whatever I'm going to tell you is not going to be enough now. You see? Why do you say, now you tell me I have to bring the oil sivach. Next thing you tell me is we all have to go out to the midbar and do a vodah to the mamsik on nemza. So, what is the pshat? Why do you say, Gamato ti tein bi adenus vachem va'olos? That wasn't a part of the request. No, that wasn't a part of the request. What I meant, Gamata Titein means, doesn't mean you should give. See, in the Osid sometimes means should, sometimes it means will. Okay? Like, for instance, Areshem Elekeya Shemayim Elekeya Shelokachayim Beza, Hu Yishlach Malocho Lefanecha. It doesn't mean he will send the malach levanah, because next pasuk he says, I don't know, and if they don't want to give you, so he says, yishlach means he should, it's a tefila, yishlach malach levanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do it. Over here, what he's saying is, not should, he's saying you will, because he's saying this last idea, if you can grasp this, you've accepted all the other ideas. You accepted the Mamzi Kol Nimtzo. You accepted the idea that there is no other forces. On the contrary, we slaughter what you think is a force. And and now you accepted that it's Tapeinu, that how do you serve God? He doesn't need anything. You serve God through your own realization that your fate and the fate of your children and everyone is dependent upon the Mamzi Kol Nimtzo. That's the method of serving God. And now the last thing is that the way you serve God is not through your own design and imagination, but it's through what? Through His tzivui. That's the last thing. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you accept this last thing, gamata titein b'deinu zvachem v'ayles. If you accept this, then you'll be giving zvachem v'ayles. It means this is the last aspect of what my request initially was when I came before Paro, and I said, Olekeho Ivrim Nikro Alenu. This was the request. It took a little while to get all the components of this idea assembled. But once you grasp this last component, then Gamata Titanimia Dinis Bachum Vailas, the single Hashem Olekeho. You see? That's the because now the whole idea is complete. When you heard that, that was the last point. That was intolerable. That was after the question I raised in the beginning. It starts off with Leib Dati Yes Hashem, and then he says that Hashem Atzadik Vani Vami Yerushalayim. How do you go when Akutza Lakutza? Right. So the that was after Makas Borod, because it says Yom Hashem Moshe Hashkem Baboris Yatzim Lefarov Al Dlamat Olov Kormar Hashem Alakei Olivrim Shalachz Mi Vyavduni Ki Bapam Azos Mi Shalachz Kol Magay Fosai Alibcho Vavodecho Vamecho. That's what the Ram says. That means to say that the Mamzi Kol Nimtzo affects the entire earth. So he says like this. He says that So that was the most powerful. That was the first of the different sequence. From Borod starts a new sequence. the bard was the was the atmospheric conditions that really frightened Paro, because they believe that there are powers in the heavens. Pentiso necha shemaimor risa shtachav islam. The heavens already were always in the principle, always meant there's some powers out there. So that was very frightening. Then, but when he saw that, he said, "You see, when he saw that, it was convincing. He saw the heavens are not powers by themselves, but they're subordinated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So that's when he says, "Vayishlach Paro vayikol moshlo v'yomar lem chotosi apom areshem atzadik vani va'ami arshayim." You see, what he meant was that really changed his. That's where it changed his philosophy. See, until that point, he said, "Le'yadati es Hashem." It means, yes, there is a borei olam, but my fate has nothing to do with this borei olam. That was a long time ago, and Bria Shemayim V'aretz is long over. But now I'm dependent on his sub-deities. So that was, you understand, that was his whole shkafas olam. But then when he saw the borod, so that really anim shalechas kol magifosai libcho va'uvacho va'avodecho, it means he gave up that idea, and he was able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really the mamzi kol nimsa, is really the one that is kinyan kamani b'chol aretz l'man tedikin l'Hashem aretz. Once he saw that, then it became very simple. Then he saw what he's actually directly going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he recognized that his ideas are false and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha extends to his realm, then immediately says, "That's it, Hashem HaTzadik. If that's the case, then I need Amir Hashem." It was very simple. Before that, it was it's either Lo Yadati Es Hashem, or else it's Hashem HaTzadik Maniv Amir Hashem. That's the only possibilities. Layadat Hashem means he's far removed. He has no shaykhs to me. But if he does have, then I'm in trouble. Then it's Hashem HaTzadik. Then I'm going against his will. Then ani va'ami horoshoyim. If his will extends to my environment, so then there's only one thing. Ani va'ami horoshoyim. That's it. You see? It wasn't like we're Rishoyim, like people use the term Rishoyim. You understand what I mean? He's saying, I did something bad, I'm a Russian. But it didn't mean like that. He meant it was a philosophical Russia. Meaning to say, now I see that I'm directly going against his will, and his will extends to the earth, and there's nothing else, so then I'm going against, then I'm a Russia. That's it. Hashem HaTzadik, Ani V'Ami Hashem. It was, he gained, Kibapama Zos Anishlos Koma Gefosai Elibcha, means he did, at that point, Lamante, that apostle says, can't come out of Chavarz. That came true. That was a prediction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it did come true. He did have that idea. Once he had that idea, the only thing he could say was Hashem HaTzadik, V'ani V'amir Hashem. Okay. You see, there's an order over here, a progressive order. First he says Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'amir Hashem. So now he already accepts that idea. Okay. Now the next step is, once he accepts that idea, so the next step is, he says, okay, so now go serve. Then Moshe Rabbeinu adds the idea that we don't serve God the way you think, you see? In other words, once he accepts God, he accepts that he's a Russia because Hashgachas Hashem exists on the earth, you see? So then he says, okay, go. But then Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, but no, it's not the way you think. We can't do anything for God. It's just for ourselves. Ben Arena, Ben Arena. That, then he rejects that. And then the last thing, then comes the last dimension. When he accepts that already, the last dimension is that you can't create any mitzvahs. That was the last dimension. So it's a direct progression. Okay. Okay. Okay, ready? Okay. So the thing we mentioned... And what we've been mentioning basically is that really, that people make a mistake and they... Okay, got it? Everything's up? Okay. All right. So that people make a mistake, and they confuse... They confuse the Yesodei Ados, the Yesodei Ados with the Yesodei Torah. There's a big difference between those two. And it's extremely important that everyone should know the Yesodei Torah. So the Sodos, the Sodei Torah, that's already different. That depends on a person's level. Not everybody's permitted to venture into that area. But people think that certain things that are Yesodos, they mistake them and they think they're Sodos and they're unimportant. And we showed last week that Torah went out of its way to make certain ideas clear to people, like Hinei Enocha Shaleach Malach, and the Hinei Enocha Shaleach Malach, HaMalach HaGor. And by the way, the Ramban says what we said, that HaMalach HaGor Wasimi Kol Ro is the same idea as Hinei Enocha Shaleach Malach, which is the recognition of the fact that the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not separate things, but they emanate from God Himself. And that's why you have Olakim Mesher Salcha Vosai Lefanov Olakim Oroi Simedri Amazah Malach HaGol Shim Kol Ra. It's used intermittently to demonstrate that it's exactly the same thing. Interesting Ramban. See, Ramban says on the Machanoyim, he says a little differently, but I don't think that it's basically, essentially different in the idea of Vayashkin Lovin Baboke Vaynashi Lovin of Nosev Varkasim Vayelech Vayashi Lovin Lovin Lankomo Vyakov Holoch Ladarko Vayifkuvo Malachi Elokim. So we said the Torah is doing two things here. First of all, showing you about Yaakov Avinu, that after the incident that he was saved miraculously from a maniac, Lavan, who wanted to destroy his own family. So he was saved miraculously. So Vayivgivo Malachi Elokim, Vayom Yaakov Asher Machane Elokim Zeh. So it means that he understood in retrospect what happened, what occurred, how the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach HaElokim, Machane HaElokim Zeh, stems from God. He understood the relationship between the events that occurred, the Malach, and I told you, the word Malach, Osa Malach of Ruchos. Malach of Ruchos means that simply, a Malach means anything. Vayishlach Malach v'yayitzi'enu Mitzrayim. So Malach means nothing more than the way that God brings about the desired result. By the way, why does the Rambam say, I just want to mention this, why does the Rambam say whenever it says Malach, it's always Nevuah? The Rambam says, like, for instance, in certain places it's pretty obvious. So obviously it's Nevuah. But the Rambam says that the word Malach always is an introduction to Nevuah. Why is it an introduction to Nevuah? Why is that so? Well, what is just a? It's not just a. Just a signal. You see, there's a reason for it, and the reason is because Malach means, as I said, what Malach means, Osa Malach of Ruchos, it means Mishar Savesh Lord. The pasuk means to say that the Malach is those things that bring about the desired results of the Ashgacha. So it means to say, whenever a person understands, in order for a person to understand that, you see, he needs Nevuah. You follow me? In order for a person to understand, and then that's V'yakov holach l'darko v'yifkuvo malach elikim. It means to say, in order for a person to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about a certain result, and the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can only be through Nevuah. That's what the Rambam makes clear in the end of the Mor Nevuchim. That Yahadis and the philosophers go on the same path to a certain basic point, but then afterwards Nevuah takes you to an area of knowledge that cannot be known by a philosopher. And this is the area of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about certain things, certainly how the Ashgacha works. That's something going on through Nevuah. So that's why whenever it says Malach, the Rambam says, it always means Nevuah. Because Malach means you understand behind the scenes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Because that's what the word Malach means. You see, the Navi calls himself a Malach. I forget which one of the Navi calls himself a Malach. So the Malach means the means through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about something, in order to understand that, the only way you can understand it is through Nevoah. There's no way, there's no method of speculation that can give you that kind of knowledge. You see, that's why the word Malach, it's not just a signal. The word Malach is tied to Nevoah because of its meaning, because of what it means. But it's interesting, the Ramban corroborates HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little differently. He says, yes. He says, he gives a few possibilities. O machanoyim machanehu or machaneho elyonim. It means his camp, or machanoyim in the plural, his camp, and the camp of the elyonim means different meaning of malach, means the intelligences. Ki machanehu ba'oretz, ki machane hamalochim kulom, machanos elokim, mevorchim lo, he says, mevorchim lo. Umodim lo biyichudo. See, umodim lo biyichudo. What does he mean? What does he mean? He means to say that what does yichud Hashem mean? Yichud Hashem means that there is none other. Ein od melevado. There are no other forces. So yichud Hashem, the ultimate idea of yichud Hashem means to be able to understand that the midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all from him, and it's all one thing. So that's what he means. So it means when Yaakov went on the road after this whole strange event, how Lavan Vayavolakim Lavan Aram B'Chalam Alayla, that strange kind of event, how God can communicate with a Russia. When he understood that, and he saw how he was saved, he reflected on the whole incident, he saw Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he saw Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He understood how Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Machanoim. It means that his level of understanding after that Marei HaNevuah was like the level of the Malachim. Mevarchim lo, umodim lo biyichudo. Because the intelligences who have an understanding of Yichud Hashem. That's Yichud Hashem. So that's the Ramban. But basically what I'm trying to tell you is that this idea of Malachim is something which the Torah wanted everybody to understand. Because you see, the Torah doesn't bring down the Parsha. And all the incidents with the Malachim, Amalek Elsimi Kol Ra, Hinei Noch Hashlech Malach, all these things are open sukkim in the Torah, because this is a Yesod Ados. It's not a Sod, it's a Yesod Ados. Okay? So, what I want to say is that this Yesod finds itself expressed again, again in the Torah. But there's one way which I think is so clear. I mean, that the Torah expresses ideas so clearly, it couldn't be made any clearer. Aside from the parshas, which if a person, as we mentioned last week, if a person just gives a little thought, he sees exactly what the pasuk means. But aside from that, there's another expression of this idea, which is blatant and clear. Anybody know what I'm referring to? Very simple thing. Shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shemos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu really expresses this idea. Because what are the Shemos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, essentially seven Shemos. Seven Shemos she'enam nimchakim. Okay, so first you have Shem Havaya. Okay, that we understand. That's the Shem O'etzem, like the Ibn Ezra says, the Shem O'etzem. But then you have the other Shemos. The other Shemos are, yeah. Shiva Shem Hashem, Hashem Anichbo, that UK, Hashem I'm for UK, okay? Perk Shishi Elohim Beis. And then he has Adni, Kael, Eloka, Elokim, Elokai, Shedai, and Tzvakos. Okay, Tzvakos, we'll leave out. Tzvakos is But the other, let's deal with the other. Well, there's something. See, there's something strange about all the Shemos, actually. What is strange about all the Shemos? There's something very unique about all the Shemos, Shacharis Baruch Hu. What is unique about Shem Shacharis Baruch Hu? Something unique about them. Besides the Shem Havaya, they have a unique property that would seem at first sight to be absurd. What? Not plural. Shaddai is not plural. Kale is not plural. They're all used for Lashon Chol. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I mean, to say that the Shem Elokim, Breishis Boro Elokim, as for Shemayim Vesoretz, is also used, Re'ei Nesaticha Elohim L'paro. So isn't that a strange thing? I mean, that the Shem Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu should also be a Shem Chol? I mean, the Shem Chol, there's only one, it's Tzvakos, certainly. Tzvakos means the hosts, heavenly hosts. Excuse me? Yeah. Shakai. Okay, so last me Shakai. Or you're not allowed to pronounce the word, but you could say the Rav one time, you could say Shaddai. So what is it? So Shaddai is the only one that would seem is not whole. But the truth of the matter is, Shaddai, Chazal say, and everybody says, is a mere contraction. It's a contraction. The word "dai" means enough, and "she" is "asher." Asher, "dai," basically. That's a, excuse me? Kel, yesh la'el yodi, la'sasim mocham ro. Means power. Elokasma, what, excuse me? Kor. We'll get the Shem Kor, it doesn't run those out. But we'll get to the Shem Kor. I'll tell you what the Shem Kor is. We'll get to it in a minute. But why is it? I mean, why is it? I mean, isn't that something that has to strike a person as strange? That the Shem Adni means my master, Adonai Oretz. Okay? I don't know, well, it's Machlekes with the Scottish. But basically, it's a plural I'm saying Adni because there's one Pirush that says Kodesh, but the plain shot is Vayomar Adni Al Na Safa Me'alav Decha. Means he spoke to them, okay? He spoke to them, but the Rambam says actually it's not to them in plural because Al Na Safa Me'alav Decha is singular. So the Rambam shows you that term Adni over there that he spoke to the Gadol Shebahem. And the Gadol Shem, it's always derech kavod to use plural, Adonai Haaretz. So, but basically, the Shem Adni is the Shem Chol, it means my master. So, isn't that a strange phenomenon that we should make a bracha Adni Elokeinu Elokim with terms that are used for an ordinary person? I mean, Rei Nesaticha Elohim L'paro. Isn't that a strange idea? I mean, why did the Torah do that? What's the answer? The answer is very simple. The answer is to show that this shame, which denotes Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, Elokim denotes Midos HaKadosh. Adni is the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to show that idea really is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma. That's the basic principle. I mean, that's why it's a Shem Chol, because it means to say, as I mentioned, it's an instructive term. It means that you have an idea of all powerful. That idea should be reserved really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's to show you that Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an emanation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma. And that's the clearest way the Torah does it, by the shame itself. Very simple thing. The only shame that is not that way is which shame? Shame Adni. And I'm sorry, Shame Avaya. Shame Avaya. Because the Shame Avaya is the only term that, like the Rambam explains, that means absolute existence. It's the only term that man can use that's a reference to God himself and not to anything else. not to anything else. So that's the only shame that you have. You see. So it's an amazing thing. I mean, you see that in the shameless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself, the Torah couldn't be more explicit than using a term Elohim, Bereshis Bor Elohim Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz, and the same Torah says Reinis Atich Elohim Lefara. I mean, the Torah is trying to show you that if you the reference to Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. It depends how you it's a reference to Hanhagas Hashem, basically. So if you're referring to Hanhagas Hashem, it's Kodesh. But if you're referring to a Hanhoga of a boss of a Dom, it's Chol. Okay, you follow? There's no word God in Hebrew, that's correct. Yeah. It's just a clear thing. I mean, it should be obvious, I think, to anybody. So that's why, I mean, things that are obvious in the Torah are not sawdust. This is a dvarim pshutim that everybody has to understand. So what'd you say? There's two other shemos that Chazal had, shame of 12 and the shame of 42. And Ram says those were ideas the idea was not as abstract as the shame Havaya, but it was an idea about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it was a phrase. He says, only a fool would think that 42 letters are one word made up of 42 letters. He says, not 40, they called the 42 letters, but it was a phrase. It was a phrase about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Ram, as a matter of fact, the Ram says that shame really originally was not. The Ram says he says there is no doubt that this name also, consisting of 12 letters, was in this sense more distinctive than the name Adni.
Where is it?
It's in the Marduchim. It's in chapter 62. Okay. It was never withheld from any of the students, he said. Whoever wished to learn it had the opportunity given to him without any reserve. Not so the Tetragrammaton. Those who knew it did not communicate it except to a son or a disciple once in 7 years. When, however, unprincipled men had become acquainted with that name, which consists of 12 letters, and in consequence had become corrupt in faith, as is sometimes the case when persons with imperfect knowledge become aware that a thing is not such as they had imagined, the sages concealed also that name and only communicated it to the worthiest among the Kohanim, that they should pronounce it, or that they should pronounce it when they blessed the people in the temple. They used that name, the Ramos, they used that name instead of the Shem Havaya in the Birchas Kohanim, which is in line with the one time gave a shiur where I showed that the Shem Havaya is not the essence of the Shem Havaya is in knowledge, not in dibor, because that's why it says that they would muffle the sound. The question is anything any sound is muffled is not as has a lax in dibor. The shot says something quietly, it's not a shlich tzila. But this, the Shem Adni, I'm sorry, Shem Havaya, the Shem Havaya is what he called, is something, the kium of the Shem is in Yediyah. The kium of the Shem is in Yediyah. So therefore, if the Kohen Gadol pronounced the Shem and it wasn't audible, it didn't matter. Because the kium is in his Yediyah. And it's the only word, really, that's that way. Every other word must be spoken out loud. Otherwise, it's not a bracha. Birch's Kohanim, the Kohen says to himself, it's not a bracha. It has to be out loud. But the shame of Vaya is the only word that could be muffled. But the Rami says they use the 12 letter word. There's a Masara 12 letter word, which was also used when the shame of Vaya, after the shame of Vaya was lost. Just say, after the shame of Vaya was lost. The 12 letter word was used, and that word also, he says, the Kohanim muffled the sound. Says once I followed my grandfather, Chazal say, to the dais where the blessing was pronounced, I inclined my ear to listen to a Kohen who pronounced the name and noticed that his voice was drowned amid the singing of his brothers, the Kohanim. So that's what, because the shame, it's an interesting thing, that the shame of Havaya is the only word that doesn't need halachically to be to be actually pronounced out loud, the Kohen Gadol has to understand the idea, and that's the king. At any rate, okay. But the point is, okay, so you have... So my point is, though, that the Shemos Shel HaKadosh, in the Shemos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is telling you something pretty openly. Pretty openly. And that's really the idea of Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem means that the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are not a force, not an existence in their own right, not a power, but they emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Yichud Hashem. That's basically Yichud Hashem. That's Yichud Hashem. That's what the Rambam means, that the Miachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yichud Hashem. It's interesting. All the Shemos, how many Shemos do you have? Basically, Shem Adni, we explain what the Shem Adni is. The Shem Adni is Mahu Afata. Mahu Afata means that I learn from Midas, I can derive from Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my master. Why? Because the master determines the activity of the servant. So in the same manner, an individual learns from Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to act. So that means he becomes an Eved. It means his actions are determined by his master, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Shem Adni. That's the Mahu Afata. That's the idea of Mahu Afata. Shem Elokim, Shem Elokim is power. It means someone who has might, who has power. Okay? It's interesting. And basically, so the Shem Elokim and Tzvakos, I'm going to leave out the Tzvakos right now. But Tzvakos is obvious is chol, because many times I mean so either the idea of, I didn't check the Rambam that did Tzvakos mamzi kol nimtza, Tzvakos is mamzi kol nimtza, or another idea which has to do with the has to do with the intelligences, but that doesn't matter right now. The interesting shame, the one shame that's different than the other ones, which is a shame that's different than the other ones? Which is that Elikim is power, Adni is Ma'ofato, also means a master, okay? Kael, Elikim, Tzvakos, but there's one. The shame, see, there's two shemos that are singled out in the Torah. Va'ero el Avram el Yitzchak vel Yaakov bekel Shaddai. Okay, I told you the grammar of this is very important. Lo nodati lohem, means not that they didn't know the shame, but they didn't witness the effects of the shame. Yeah. By the way, it brings to mind also a question of I'll get back to that. The question of why the shame havai is midas rachman. Remind me. Okay. But the shame Shaddai is an interesting shame. What is interesting about Shaddai? Said Ramses. What is the shame Shaddai? Says it's contraction. Everyone holds a contraction from Dai and Asher. Asher Dai. So the Rambam says, the name Shaddai signifies. He says it comes from the word Dai. He says, he quotes a compare for the stuff they had was sufficient. I think Kiamlocha Hayadai. I think it's a passing of Torah. I think what we're from. But anyways, yeah. Kiamlocha. Yeah, by the building in the Mishkan, right? Kiamlocha Hayadai, right? So the Shin is therefore is equal to Asher, which is Shekvar, which already. The name Shaddai therefore signifies he who is sufficient. That is to say, he does not require any other being for affecting the existence of what he created or its conservation. It means Yichud Hashem. It means everything stems from him. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need anything else. What's strange about that? There's always a strangeness there. You have to notice. You notice the strangeness. You see the idea. What is strange about it? So it means that he's the Kol Yachal. I mean, he's the Kol Yachal. Okay? He's the Kol Yachal, but it's expressed in the negative. You see? He doesn't need anything. Sheh, die. It's enough. He doesn't need anything else. You see? You understand it? What is the significance? Why do you, if you want to say the name of God and you want to express that he's all powerful, so you would say it, an ordinary person would say it in the positive, but you see, it almost takes away in a sense. You say it's enough. It's enough. It's like It sounds like not the type of description we would want to use. One is more powerful. On the contrary, he's enough. What does it signify? Signifies a yesod, which the Rambam explains. No. Yeah, right. He's beyond. Yeah, how? Because you can only have negative knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the human mind is not capable. So the Rambam emphasizes in the Mor Nevuchim that there is no real study of metaphysics, like a study of mathematics. Study of mathematics, a person knows number and he studies number. But to study God is impossible. It's absurd, the whole idea. So therefore, the only thing you can study is your understanding, the closest your mind can get to being correct insofar as the human mind is capable of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's what the Rambam explains, that it's all negative knowledge, is the only kind of knowledge that man can have. So the Shaddai is expressed in the negative, you see. It's enough. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need anything else, you see. So the concept of the Shaddai is the concept that how distant basically man is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't study HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can only know by virtue of negative knowledge, like the Rambam says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not this, is not that. He doesn't have this defect, doesn't have that defect. He doesn't need anything to help him like a human being does. He's died. You see, he doesn't need. It's in the negative. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Vo'era al Avram el Yitzchak vel Yaakov bekel Shaddai. It means the Avos understood this idea. The Avos were the ones that understood the Kel Shaddai. That's why they're Kel Shaddai Nirelai Beluz Beretz Kinoan Vayavarachesu. In that term, Shaddai was the whole mahus, the whole essence of the relationship between the Avos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yediyas Hashem. I mean, that's the uniqueness of that name. You see, it's an interesting thing. I mean, but this is a matter of fact. The Rambam in the Morig, he considers it significant. But it's basic. I mean, it's basic. It's not metaphysics. This is not Ma'aseh Bereishis or Ma'aseh Merkava. This is basic. The basic is Yesod HaDos. So that's the difference between the term Shaddai and between the other Shemos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the other Shemos. The Shem Shaddai connotes a deeper idea, in the sense that it is a shame that has to do with the method of knowing that man can use in knowing God. That's the that's Vayera Lavan Yisrael Yaakov Bekel Shaddai. Yeah. Now why is the Shem Havaya really Midas Harachamim? You would think it would be the opposite. You think Midas Harachamim should be Midas, because that's Midas Midosa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. I think the answer is like this. I can't say for sure. I'm just you might say it's a little bit of speculation on my part. I mean, I can't say. There could be that there's a Masorah about this, which we don't have anymore. But it would seem to me that there's a possibility to explain why the Shem Havaya is tied to Midas HaRachamim. And I think what it means is like this. The idea of Midas HaRachamim always means that there is a plan. There is a plan. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Teva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and a system, and man is placed in the system. When man distorts the system, so basically he should cease to exist. If God wouldn't intervene, he would cease to exist. But Midas HaRachamim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Hashem, Kodem Sheyechte Adam, and La'acha Sheyechte Adam, Ar-Hashem, and the Shem Havaya. What does it mean? It means when man distorts his path, so God, instead of allowing him to destroy himself, because in the environment for his existence is gone, so he will naturally be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes, makes a change in the environment, so he can continue to exist. So it means to say that the ordinary nihug has been interrupted, and a new nihug is instituted. That's Shem Havaya. You see? That's Shem Havaya. That's where the Shem Havaya is tied to Midas Rahman. See? That's Hashem Hashem. Hashem Kodam Sheyechte Odom. That means there's one, there's a, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for a certain kind of nihug, emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem La'acha Sheyechte Odom. But after a person sins and corrupts his existence, and the situation of his existence doesn't fit him anymore, and he would cease to exist. You see, he would cease to exist. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the situation. So that's Havaya again. That's Havaya again. So it's a breach in the ordinary. That's why Havaya is Midas Ra. Okay, yeah. Ushmir Hashem lo no dati lohem. What it means is they knew Vaera Lavram Yisrael Yaakov Bekel Shaddai, which means to say that they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yediyas Hashem that they had. You see, but Ushmir Hashem lo nedati lohem means they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the ordinary nihug, but they never witnessed a total breach in the nihug. Lo no Shmir Hashem, which goes back again to the, which fits into what I'm saying. Shmir Hashem lo no datla means they never observed, not lo hodati lohem, which should have been the grammar, but it says lo no dati lohem, means to say they never witnessed any kind of situation which reflects a breach in the nihug and establishes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all creation, which was really the Nisim and Mitzrayim. That's the Nisim and Mitzrayim. That's what the pasuk means. That's what it means. That's what Chazal say, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's somewhat of a criticism also, that they were satisfied with that kind of and measure. It was in the secondary, on a certain plane, it was a kind of a criticism also. I mean, it wasn't openly a criticism, on the contrary. It was the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, but there was an element there of criticism that Moshe Rabbeinu was demanding this. He was perplexed. What do you mean? The nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be changed for me? Didn't make any sense to him. So a person should not try to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his reason of loss, but he should try to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in his infinite Chachma. Yeah. So it was a kind of a criticism. A secondary way Chazal said it was a criticism, but essentially it was really godless of Moshe Rabbeinu that he was the one that was able to be involved in the Isgalus, in the Shmiat Hashem. Okay. Yeah, the pronunciation of the name had to do with an understanding of the idea, and that was something which was harmful to a person who's not on a level to perceive that. That's what the Rambam says. So therefore, they got rid of the. You can't. You know, I want to just answer something. The Rambam says in his like Doma to the Mora, that he doesn't explain every. Don't expect, he says, from me an explanation for every little thing. So I'm just giving you the Rashi Prakrit. He does not. He doesn't explain every little thing that he's saying. What the Rambam means over here is that when they gave over the pronunciation, he's trying to explain to you, they didn't. It's not a pronunciation. The pronunciation went, they explained why you pronounce it that way. Do you understand what I mean? It wasn't simply that's what the Rambam says over here. The Rambam says it was an idea. He says, that's what the Rambam says over here. He says, for instance, the name of the 42 letters is exceedingly holy. It can only be in Chazal, it's quoting Chazal. It can only be entrusted to him who is modest in the midway of life, means he's past his youth, not easily provoked to anger, temperate, gentle, and who speaks kindly to his fellow men. It means another mamushlam, basically. So Chazal said, only be given over to such a person. And not on his youth, no matter how perfect it is. It's an amazing thing. He who understands it is cautious with it and keeps it in purity. is loved above and is liked here below. He is respected by his fellow men. His learning remaineth with him, and he enjoys both this world and the world to come. So far in the Talmud. And the Rambam explains how grievously has this passage been misunderstood. Many believe that the 42 letters are merely to be pronounced mechanically, that by knowledge of these, without any further interpretation, they can attain to these exalted ends, although it is stated that he who desires to obtain a knowledge of that must be trained in the virtues named before, and go through all the great preparations which are mentioned in that passage. On the contrary, it is evident that all this preparation aims at a knowledge of metaphysics which includes the ideas of the secrets of the law, as have been explained. And then he says that when bad and foolish men were reading such passages, they considered them to be a support of their false pretensions and their assertion that they could, by means of an arbitrary combination of letters, form a Shem, which would act and operate miraculously when written or spoken in a certain particular way. So, I mean, the Rambam talks about the Shtus V'Hevel. You see, the Chazal say exactly the opposite. Okay, the Shem. The Shem is a... The Shem became an idea of some magic. You could perform some magic, as if this is what the Torah is trying to teach, how a person is going to become perfected, by pronouncing something and doing magic. Yeah. The idea of the pronunciation, that's what I'm telling you, the idea of the pronunciation, that's exactly what the Rambam is trying to tell you over here. It's in the same chapter. Why is it he's trying to tell you it's not the pronunciation, but the pronunciation, when they gave over the pronunciation, they gave over the ideas of why it is pronounced that way. Pronunciation. But then once they saw nobody is roy for that, so they stopped giving it over. Okay? There's nothing in the pronunciation. So he says, that's what foolish people thought. There's some magic you can do if you know the pronunciation. So that's shtus for heaven, and can I call it tarakula? He calls such people evil. He says, when bad and foolish men were reading such passages, he says, they're stupid and they're also evil. Because why are they're stupid, obviously they're stupid. But why are they evil? They're evil because they're distorting the whole perfection of Yahadus. And the distortion of the perfection of Yahadus is evil. No, I said, because he was deserving. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, those nisim could not have taken place. That's what the pasuk says. Oh, the pasuk says it. Omasher ato bekirbo. Es mase Hashem ki nohu Hashem ose imach. It's because of him, only because of Moshe. That's again, it's an open pasuk. I mean, a lot of these things are open pasuk. I mean, just in the most basic way, I'll just say it over one sentence. In the most basic way, it means that, again, metaphysics is not a study. There is no study of metaphysics. You can't study God. It's a nonsensical idea, and arrogant and stupid to say that there's such a thing. But the idea of metaphysics is that man is a tzelem elokim, and there's something that he can't understand because he's endowed with an element that gives him insight. And that thing that he has can reach a peak or can remain dormant and not even being used. Okay? So, I mean, the idea of metaphysics for man is simply that insofar as man is capable of having these ideas correct. And basically, the idea of negative knowledge is that a person has in his mind an idea of existence, has an idea of absolute existence, but that idea is tainted with many, many things. And the more the person removes from the contaminated element, the closer he gets to the idea of pure existence.
Okay,
that's what it means, basically. Okay. That the only way that you can get close is by removing a negative. So it's all negative knowledge. Through negative knowledge, a person can get closer to Yedias Hashem. That's the only way. There's no positive knowledge because we aren't capable of such a thing. Man has no capacity for that. But that which is endowed in his mind of existence, he can purify it. Or, in which case, he's close to God, and if it's not purified, then he's distant from God. That's basically what it means. Well, what I wanted to say is that the idea of Yedias Hashem, I mean, is paramount, as I'm showing. I mean, it's not a luxury. I mean, it's not something you could say that, I just don't, I'm not interested. I mean, all the mitzvahs are a vehicle for Yedias Hashem. I mean, that's why the Torah shows you the Avos. I mean, all these Rambans, all these psukim, you can't say they're written for nothing. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, the psukim, the Rambans, the Ibn Ezras, the Rambams, the psukim, I mean, there's a reason for it. It means you have to have some Yedia. But the truth of the matter is that Yedias Hashem is of the greatest significance. And you see that our Chazal try to make it clear, the Navi tries to make it clear, our Chazal try to make it clear. For instance, Birchas HaTorah. HaRevnot Hashem Malekeinu Lelekeya Veseinu Divei Saras Vafinu Ufifes Ala Beisel V'niye Anachnu V'tzatzoenu V'tzatzoenu Kulonu Yodei Shemecha V'lom Dei Sarasecha L'shma. So what does it mean? It means to say, without the Yodei Shemecha, there's no Lom Dei Sarasecha L'shma. That's why Yemes Paul V'niye Anachnu V'tzatzoenu Yodei Shemecha. You see? And the Lom Dei Sarasecha L'shma. So that's what I'm telling you. This is not a sod. It may be something that's a well-kept secret, but it's not a sod. It's a basic in Yehadus. It's a basic in Yehadus. The whole idea of Yichud Hashem, that's the essence. Am Yachrim Chonom, Am Yachrim Yemechim Shivcha Pamayim B'chol Yom, Am Shema Yisro. Chonom Yachrim Shivcha. Constantly, Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem is Kolot HaKulah, basically. It's everything. It's the most basic idea, and the whole Musar, as I mentioned, the whole Musar of Avraham Avinu was that idea should be clear. If that idea is clear to an individual, if he understands the idea of Yichud Hashem and he understands the Hashgachas Hashem and he understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shofei Kol Haaretz, I mean, this is the biggest Musar. You don't need Musar bigger than that. I mean, what was Ram said? Ram quotes over here. That's why he says, when he talks about the Yedias Hashem, the name of 42 letters is exceedingly holy. It can only be entrusted to him who is modest, midway, and in all the requirements. And he says, he who understands it is cautious with it, keeps it in purity, is loved above and is liked here below. What does it mean? It means that Yedia gives him perfection. That is the Musar. That's the Musar of Avraham Avinu. Avraham B'Shem Arisham. Well, what was the Musar? That was the Musar. To make the idea known and clear. And once a person has that idea clear, then he's Holech B'Derech Hashem. And without that idea, he's not. I mean, you see, for instance, I'll give you an example. I mean, the Shemos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ideas of the Shemos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu really convey all this knowledge. For instance, you see, Yichud Hashem in Uvol Hatzion Goel, right? So what's Uvol Hatzion Goel? It's again, Yichud Hashem, Kadosh, Hashem Tzvakos, Moloch HaLoretz Kevado. So what's it? Mekablin Deimin Dein V'Omrin. What's Mekablin Deimin Dein? So Mekablin Deimin is interesting. Mekablin Deimin Dein, V'Nosim Rishus Zel Azeh. Malachim give Rishus Zel Azeh. What does it mean, V'Nosim Rishus Zel Azeh? L'Haktish Liyosu Menachas Roch. So it means the intelligences that have a greater Yedias Hashem than we do, okay, because we're not the only creation. There are intelligences that have a greater Yedias Hashem. So it means to say, it's an interesting thing, but what is the characteristic? It's amazing. When you take a look, what's the characteristic that the Navi and that the Anshei Knesset Gedola were trying to teach us in the Birkas Yotzer? He says, V'nosnim reshuz zeh lo zeh lahaktish li yevchum akam alayim om ocha shamayim zeh mi zeh. Zeh mi zeh. V'nosnim reshuz zeh lo zeh. What is the idea? The idea is that they don't have any ego involved. There's no ego involved. They understand the true ideas and they just act in accordance with those ideas. So means that That's what it means. That's what Shazelle says. It means that neither one thinks that their Kedusha is greater than the other one. So it really means that they don't try to outdo the other one. See, I mean, that's the point. That's what? Yeah, correct. So that's that even it means to say that they are just impelled by the idea and the truth, nothing else. There is no egoistic motivation. It's an interesting common name and name. And then it says, it's Yichud Hashem. That's the central idea. It means there's a God's existence, and then there's the manifestation of His existence. But it's all one. That's really it's Yichud Hashem. That's the common name. The Kadosh Kadosh, the three Kedushas. That's the three Kedushas. Just a second. And you see that the whole of Volatzion really was introduced in order to perfect people. And you see the main ideas in the Volatzion is then it mentions the mitzvahs tzedakah, as I mentioned, shomros os liolom liyetzer machshav os levav amecha, the implementation of the idea of l'ashem ha'atzim b'loa of tzedakah, and then you mispalel shenishmoch kecha b'olam hazeh v'nizkev. I mean, that's the whole Volatzion is really the whole perfection of man, and it mentions Avoso v'Yiroso and Taroso, but first it's Yichud Hashem. It is interesting, and it ends off with Yichud Hashem, because what is it after the Tefillah? What do you say after the Tefillah? V'yivtuchu v'cha yodei shemecha kilo azafto doroshecha ad Hashem. What does it mean doroshecha? Doroshecha means that you can't know God. You can only be a doresh acha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't know God. That's what the Navi in Tillim, it says many, many times. So Hashem and Hashemayim bit liros hayesh b'nei adam maskil doresh elokim, doresh elokim. You can only be a doresh, because man, there's no subject of metaphysics. There's only a certain knowledge that's attainable by the human soul that we can have, and that's it. I mean, that's like the Rambam and Amar Vochem many times. Rambam and Amar Vochem says, content yourself with this. He says, this is meaning to say you have to know what you can know and what you can't know. And the idea, the idea of a study in the world is a study of metaphysics. In Yahadis, there's no study of metaphysics. There's a study which perfects the soul of man insofar as his idea of Hashem. That's all there is. There's no study of metaphysics. It's ridiculous. It's absurd, because we're Yitzurim. We're creations. Creation can't know the Creator. It's an absurd idea. But at the same time, we have to know certain ideas, which in these ideas perfect us. It's like it says in Pirkei Avos, Lo lecha malacha ligmar v'yata asher li batal mima. You can't. There is no study of metaphysics really, but yata asher li batal mima. The whole perfection of man is when he attains, insofar as he is capable, the ideas that are closest, you see, to the true idea of Hashem. That's the perfection of man. The yivtuchu v'cho yodei shemecha. It's an interesting thing. It always says, as I mentioned to you last time, the key is always in the grammar of the psukim. The ideas, I say sodos, I mean, they're not really sodos in the full sense of the word, but I mean to say the Torah indicates ideas essentially through the grammatical, through the change in the aberrations in the grammar, like Shmir Hashem lo no dati instead of lo hodati, But you have the same thing, the same idea over here. You have a pasuk in the Torah which says, "V'kashtem mishamas ad Hashem alekecha." So I've seen that pasuk. "V'kashtem mishamas ad Hashem alekecha." What does it say? Omatzasa. So what? So you say, is that a contradiction or is that a what? Yeah, kisid. Then it says kisid v'shenu b'chol avav v'chol nafshecha. But the pasuk says, "V'kashtem mishamas ad Hashem alekecha omatzasa." So what do you say about that? No. It's wrong grammatically. It should say the kashtan mishomas at Hashem alekecha umetzasiv, and you find him because motza is always a transitive verb. There's always a direct object. I don't think there's any other place where you have the word motza without a direct object. Motza chen beinai, motza chen emtza chen beinecha. You have by a mitzvah. It says kisovad mimenu umitzosah with a mapake. You'll find it, right? When Yehuda sent the shliach over there. Hine shalachti gvi hazev atova mitzosah, right? But over here, it says uvikashtem mishom esad Hashem alekecha. There's no direct object. V'kashta mishamas ad Hashem alekecha. It says umatzasa. Yes, but umatzasa. Kisid v'shenu b'chol avav v'chol nafshecha. You see? What does it mean umatzasa? Means and you'll find. There's no direct object. No, it doesn't say umatzasa. Umatzasa. It doesn't say v'kashta misham. It's the only case. I don't think there's another case. And I didn't check. You check through every. See, I don't think there's any other case. The closest thing that comes to it is by love and Arami, where it says vayvakish kol eskola or v'lo matza, but then it says v'lo matza sachofim. So it's the next. So it's clear that the and it could be there's a reason why it leaves it out in that pasuk, is to show that he didn't find. He wasn't a finder in that case. But over there is a direct object of trofim. But over here is v'kashta mishamas ad Hashem alekecha. Umotzasa. It doesn't say umotzasiv, umotzasa. Bikashtihu v'lo mitzasiv. Bikashtihu v'lo mitzasiv. So why is it? Because you can't find God. It's impossible. Uvikashta misham, yes. Umotzasa, you'll find something, yes. Because a person, like with a person, is mechuyev insofar as he can to have yedias Hashem. Umotzasa. Ki sidrashenu b'chol avav v'chol nafshecha. Sidrashenu means doresh. Again, the Torah throws it back into being doresh elokim. Doresh elokim. It's an amazing thing. But the, yeah. Yeah. Won't be fruitless. You'll find something. Umatzasa. You'll find. Na matzasiv? No, that's impossible. Umatzasa, you'll find. Yeah. That's a good shot. I wouldn't say that. It means Rikashta Misham is really an off Klal Yisrael, because it really says they'll all find something. But Umatzasa is in the singular, meaning it's a singular phenomena. Each individual on according to this level. Anyway, the Yiftuchu V'cho Yodei Shemecha Kilo Yazavto before that says, Bitchu b'reshem, I just say a plain passage. Bitchu b'reshem adayad ki bekor reshem tzur alam. What does it mean? I mean, it has to have a meaning. You can't tell me that the Dovah Malach is saying a pasuk that is meaningless. What does it mean? Bitchu b'reshem adayad. Why? Ki bekor reshem tzur alam. What does that mean? Why? He's giving you a reason. Ki means a reason. Bitchu b'reshem adayad. You say that in the end of Volts here. Bitcha Hashem, ki bekor Hashem tzur olam. What does it mean? Okay. So the shem ka. We one time said, we made an observation. We said the shem ka is always used when it comes to Hallel, Hallelujah ka. It's used in Sefer Tillim again and again. The shem ka is always used. It seems to be a part of the shem avaya, a part ka from Yud Kei Vav Kei, but not completely. Correct? Interesting. The Rambam says that what is the Shem Kor? He says the Shem Kor connotes eternity. You see? And he says eternity is tied, of course, to the idea of absolute existence. You see? Now, just on a basic level, again, I mean, I'm not going to metaphysics, just a basic understanding. What the Rambam means is that there is a Shem, the Shem Havaya is one step higher than the Shem Kor. Because the Shem Havaya connotes absolute existence. The Shem Kor connotes eternity. Eternity is something easier for a person to grasp. You see, it's a lower level, an easier level than to grasp the idea of absolute existence. So basically, but they're tied together. You see, that's why the Shem Kor is derived from Shem Havaya. Because the Rambam says that that absolute existence, of course, brings in with it also, forget his Lashon, brings in with it the idea of eternity. You see? So the absolute existence includes the idea of eternity. That is the necessity of existence. You see? What he means is that the Shem Kor is eternity, which is easier for a person to grasp than the Shem Havaya, than the idea of absolute existence. Again, I mean, this is all insofar as a human being is capable. I mean, so that's why in Hallel the Shem Kor is used, because the Shem Kor, it means the Shem Havaya is really is the highest level of understanding. That the Shem Havaya, see, the Shem Havaya really connotes an idea where an individual is completely absorbed in the metaphysical idea of God. That's the Shem Havaya. But in Hallel, you're a step removed, because in Hallel you're being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Limud, it's not Yediyah, it's Shevach. So it's Shevach, so you're looking, so the Shem, you want a Shem that is associated with the Shem Havaya, but not with the full, with what the Shem Havaya fully demands of a person. You see, the Shem Havaya really demands of an individual complete concentration and understanding, and the person is completely absorbed in the Shem. It's like, he's like, it's like almost like Nevuah. I mean, he's like, like the Rambam says, he realizes he's b'ya shvelov afelod, he's nital achorov, he's completely absorbed. That's when a person contemplates the Shem Havaya. The Shem, but in Hallel you can't do that, because in Hallel he's still involved to a degree in his own concerns, because he's being mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needs a mate for that. All the shvachos are nonsensical. He knows it. So that's why the Shem Kor is one step removed, you see, but it's a reference. It's eternity. The eternal one is a reference to the Shem Havaya. But yet it's not the Shem Havaya. It's the only Shem that you could use that connotes the Shem Havaya, and it's not as demanding as the Shem Havaya. That's why it's used in Hallel. But that's what he's saying. Bitchu b'reshem adayad, but Hashem adayad ki bekor Hashem sur alamin. It means kor Hashem means the eternity of God, okay, which is a reference to His absolute existence. Sur alamin. What is sur? The term sur means might and power, like the Rambam says. So it means because His midos, sur is the midos, they all stem from kor, which is the Shem Hashem. It's a unification. The pasuk "Bichvar Hashem Adayad Ki Bichvar Hashem Tzur Alamin" is telling you that the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu from Tzur, and then the from Tzur, a person goes to the Shem Kor, and then to the Shem Havaya. It's all unified. Everything's from Him, basically. That's what it means. "Bichvar Hashem Adayad Ki Bichvar Hashem Tzur Alamin." That's what the pasuk means. It's a plain shot in the pasuk. It's not the pasuk has a meaning. It's a plain. It's Yichud Hashem, basically. It's Yichud Hashem. So the whole idea of Yichud Hashem, I mean, is the whole substance of the Volatzion, you know, the whole basis of Torah. The Vaharevna is Vinayanach Yode Shemecha. The Lom they saw Sechel Lashmon. You have it again in the Shinasman Tarasana Chayelon. Who Yiftach Ben Basar Rasal? The Yasin Ben Avasa Vyarasa. That's after Kaddish Kaddish Kaddish. The Yichar Hashem. Then it ends with Yichar Hashem. And interesting is the last pasuk. What's the last pasuk? What does that possibly mean? What does it mean? You see, these psukim have no ordinary meaning. He wants what? And what's the wants? He wants leman tzidko. What does it mean? What's the plain meaning of the pasuk? The plain meaning of the pasuk is exactly what we're saying. It's again yichud Hashem. Hashem chafetz. God wants. When a person wants, he wants something. By a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he can't say he wants something. But there is an idea that we have of God's will. So Hashem chafetz, God wants, leman tzidko. What does it mean, leman tzidko? It means the only thing we could say about God's will is his will expresses his midas tzedakah. Hashem chafetz, leman tzidko. It means this is an expression of his perfection. Laman tzidko. That's what it means. You can't say Hashem chafetz. The pasuk is telling you clearly by this strange statement, Yichur Hashem. It means you can't say that a God wants something. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. Is it God's will that the Torah should be expanded and glorified? Yes. But why does he want that? We can't. You can only say Laman tzidko. You can only say that this is an expression of his perfection. And that's all we could say about it. Hashem chafetz, Laman tzidko. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. So basically, the end of the world scene, it expresses the idea that Limud HaTorah is God's will. At the same time, it shows you that you cannot use a phrase of God's will as you would in an ordinary sense. Shem Chavis Laman Sitka. You only say, why does he want? It's his perfection. That's it. This is simply a manifestation for us that we can perceive his perfection, and that's all we can say about it. Can't say anything more. Yagdil Tariyah. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Okay. Yes. Yeah. The Mashuas. But it's more than that. See, it's more than that. It means to say that it shows you. I mean, you see, David HaMelech also in this poem that he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure. He's mispalel. A person has to be mispalel that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't be gover on him. He has to be mispalel. That's not enough if he says I'm going to rely on my bechira. Because first of all, there are many different things, many different situations that can arise that a person's small little bechira is going to be overpowered. He's not going to be able to do it. So he has to misfollow that those situations should not come about. And also in the tefillah, in the expression of the tefillah, is the perfection. Because anything a person wants, he has to be shown that Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wants. He has to be shot. So it would lack in tefillah if he wouldn't ask his creator for that which is most dear to him. So he has to be mispal for that. If a person is not mispal for that, it means it's not something that he wants. Alavas kol nigei libo means anything a person wants, he has to be mavakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not mavakish, it means that he doesn't really desire it. So in perfection is something a person has to be mispalful. It's not simply a matter of free will. It must be mispalful. That's what Chazal means. B'derech Shalom Rotzeh Leilach Malachim Asa. It means it has to be something he has to recognize. I'll just say one thing on that. What does it mean? What does it mean actually being mispalful for that? It means that demands a certain level of human existence. The level of existence is that a person should know that the derech of the taivas will never make him happy. And the only thing that will really give him happiness is the true derech. That's a derech of Torah. That's Yerushalayim, Shenishmo, what was it? Shenishmo, That's what I mean. What it means is that if that idea isn't clear to an individual, if a person's mind is overpowered by the taivas and he thinks the good is over there, he can't be mispal such a thing. It means that that's one thing that has to be clear to him. Once his mind knows that his happiness cannot be attained by listening to his inner desires, that is going to just lead to destruction if that happens, if that should take place, and it will never satisfy him and never give him any happiness. Once he recognizes that and he recognizes the only happiness is in this area, then he has to, it means he focuses in on this area, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to assist him in gaining that knowledge and gaining the ability to overcome the taivas. But it presupposes a certain knowledge. The knowledge that this is the only way that he will ever have a good existence. That's what it presupposes. If he doesn't have that knowledge, then the tefillah is just a tefillah sheker. I mean, then it's like Yirmiyahu says. He says it with his lips, but it doesn't really mean it. And he presupposes, those tefillahs presuppose a certain idea. A person cannot say, if he doesn't really know, that he's not convinced that's the only way that he's going to have a really good life. You see, if he thinks he's going to have a good life by the taivas, but by restraining from the taivas, God's going to give him some present or something. Then he's a fool. He's a fool, and the tefillah is worthless. The tefillah doesn't mean anything. He has to know that. It presupposes the tefillahs are written on a very high level. I mean, you see, all the tefillahs are on a high level. All the tefillahs, Rosh Hashanah, who's concerned? People concerned about the world? I don't care about that. They worry about Sgalas HaShchina. That's what their preoccupation. So the tefillahs are written on the highest level. That's one thing that the Navi never did, never compromised. Didn't compromise the system because of, no matter how low the level of Adam, they didn't compromise the system. There's only one concession was made. The one concession was made was in the time of Elisha and Elio, that they were allowed to do certain miracles because the people were so far gone that was the only method they could use to bring them back. That was the only concession. That's the only concession. But that's also through Novi Hashem, so there's a ladder back to the truth. So, but otherwise, the substance and the ideas of Torah have never been watered down to accommodate the masses. And once you do that, then the whole Torah is gone. And that's why everything you have is on a very high level. With all it's in goes. Everybody says, well, it's in go. But to understand it is a very high level of existence. He writes on, if a person hears on Shinishma Chokecha Ba'alam Azim and Iskev and Nir, Yiftach Libeinu B'sarasa V'yosem B'libeinu Avasa V'yosa, means that he knows this is the good. If I have that, I'll be blessed. If I don't have that, my life is a klola. If I have that, my life is a brach. So he has to know that that's true. If he's not convinced that's true, so he's just saying words. There's no meaning. So the Navi criticizes. Just to say words, the empty words, and you don't really believe them, what kind of value is that before God? That's nothing. So presuppose a certain basic existence. And there's one more thing. The last thing I mention is like this. That the reason why is it that people aren't concerned about your Yedias Hashem, they're not concerned about all those psukim and the Torah, all those parshas, don't bother them? I'll tell you why. Because there is, you see, there is a certain way of thinking. We mentioned that there's Avodah Zarah and there's a Derech Avodah Zarah. And we have to keep away from the whole approach. It's not L'sasim Kein L'Hashem L'Gad. Ramban says you can't borrow from that system and put it in, even if you want to put it in this system, it doesn't. The whole thing is the two are incommensurable. They're incongruous. There's no similarity at all in anything I do. Their praying is not tefillah. There's nothing in common. We have absolutely zero in common. So the one of the things that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have is basically they're completely engulfed, you see, in their fate. That's all they're concerned about. That's it. Their whole preoccupation is their fate. And Yahadus demands of a person. The person would ask Avraham Avinu, how do I improve my fate? He would say, first of all, forget about your fate, and let's talk about your Yedias Hashem. You see, so there has to be that level, but all the mitzvahs of the Torah are really V'kashtem mishom asad Hashem alakecha umotzasa. I mean, that's the whole objective. That's the objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. It means that he has to be looking for something other, something higher, something greater. So if a person uses the mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs are just a means to secure his fate, you see, that's the derech avodah zarah. That's all he cares is about his physical fate, and all the mitzvahs are just a vehicle of that. That's derech avodah zarah. Who really says that? Who really says that? Who enunciates emphatically this idea? The Rambam. The Rambam Nuchas Mezuzah. Where the Rambam says that if you should write the Shemos HaMalachim in the Mezuzah, he says, this person has no chelik in Olam Haba, he says. Nothing. Because he took a mitzvah that has the ideas of the greatest ideas in the world, and he took it and he made it the Ke'ilu Kimiya Shel Anas Atzma. What does it mean? That's Derech Avodah Zarah. That's what Ram says, that such an individual who takes mitzvahs and just uses them to secure his own physical faith, his physical safety, that's Derech Avodah Zarah. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. Yahadus demands that a person doesn't say you shouldn't be concerned about it, you have to be concerned, but you have to be concerned in a different manner. You have to look for the emes. That's the first thing. So if the person is just concerned with his faith and uses the mitzvahs not as a stepping stone and a ladder to the kashna mishomah said Hashem alakecha matzasa, he doesn't use it for that purpose, but he just used it to secure his own faith, that's derech avodah zarah. That's derech avodah zarah. And that's why, in my opinion, is a big machlekes hagenim, whether, for instance, Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs or whether he didn't know about the mitzvahs. It's a big machlekes. And the later Gainim write that there's no real resolution. But you'll see that people will, and the Rambam holds that they didn't know. Somebody brought me a raya from the Rambam, a clear-cut raya. Because the Rambam says that by Gid, Yaakov Avinu was the one that instituted Gid Anasha, correct? Which means Avraham Avinu didn't have it, right? So I can say Avraham Avinu kept Kol Torah Kulo if he had Gid Anasha. Somebody tell me this right. Beautiful right. 100% right. So basically, the Rambam was sure, and the Rambam in his letters writes also that Avraham Avinu did not have the mitzvahs. Okay, but you'll see people are riled up about that. They become very disturbed emotionally about the Rambam's opinion and other Gainim's opinion. And they're convinced that it can't be, but they must take the Chazal Pshuta Kamashmo, where Chazal said he kept all the mitzvahs. Instead of like a Rambam, says what the Chazal means is they had the perfection of all the mitzvahs. That's what it means. They didn't need the mitzvahs because they were on such a level, the Yediyas were on such a level, they had the perfection of every single mitzvah. And if a person will say they didn't have it, they were lacking in perfection, Then he'll be denying the others, be denying what the Torah is teaching us about the others. Why is it so attractive to people to believe? Who are they to determine? He asks these same people. Say, there's machlekes hagenim in Taharis. You want to maybe you want to give us your opinion? There's no word. You understand anything? Okay. But when it comes to this area, he knows right away. He's convinced. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's operating on the low level. He's operating on a low level. The level to him, mitzvahs is nothing more than to secure his fate. So he can't believe that Avraham Avinu, how was his fate secured without the mitzvahs? You see? So in his mind, that's what he thinks. So that's why he can immediately step into a machlekes hagenim and he can tell you that the Rambam's wrong. I mean, it's nonsensical, but what I want to show you is that Yahadus demands that we analyze our emotions, and if you see you're out of line, that's the beauty of this whole system of Torah. The system of Torah is a check system. Whenever you have something that goes against one of the principles of the Torah, you see right away there's something wrong here. Like the Rambam says, there's a certain disease of the mind over here, which has to be corrected. And this is a disease of the mind. It's quite obvious that a person thinks, or a person will think, that he knows the resolution to what Kishuf is, whether the Rambam was right or whether the Rambam was right. He's sure the Rambam was right. He doesn't even understand the Rambam. Doesn't know the first thing about it. But he can tell you right away. But the answer is because he's guided by a primitive emotion. And a primitive emotion is to believe that the mitzvahs will secure my fate. So now it becomes like a kameo shahanas atzmo. So how could Avraham Avinu, how could I respect Avraham Avinu? He didn't have the mitzvah. So now my whole system's falling apart. So there's something else here. How could it be? Well, that's basically the whole lack in the significance of understanding the Yesodei Hados. The Yesodei Hados, which the Torah takes so much trouble, goes out of its way through Kamo Psukim and Parshiyos to teach us the Yesodei Hados in Yichud Hashem, and people really do not have any interest in this. Interest in it. They have no interest in it. I was speaking to somebody recently. I was talking a little bit. I says, well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Apparently, the Torah thinks there's a big difference. Yeah. I want to take up an Ibn Ezra on the Aseres HaDibros. Okay. So the Ibn Ezra is on Anocha Hashem Elokecha. So it has to do with what we're doing here. Dibur Harishon. It's on. It's in Shmos Chof. It's a Pasuk Beis, but it's in the in this version. It's in the middle over here. Okay, so it's let me see. Where's the Dibur Maskil in this? It's a very big one. Okay, yeah. Is it the same one? It's on Aleph, but it's quite far down. It's in the regular Chumash. It's what do you call it? It's let me see, identified over here. If this is Bavurk, where he goes between the first Dibros and the second Dibros, he says in the second Dibros, Ubavurki bedivrei Moshe divrei Hashem muravin al kain kosev es hadvarim v'lo kol hadvarim kasher kosev bereshon. Right after that, where he explains the difference between the second set of dibros and the first set. It says in the second set you have dibur Moshe is muravin in dibur Hashem, because the sefer looks like we said basically sefer dvarim was Moshe Rabbeinu actually said it, but then God gave him a tzivui to incorporate his statements into the entity of Torah. So that's what Ibn Ezra says here also. Divrei Moshe, divrei Hashem muravin. Okay, because in the second one says es hadvarim, lo kol hadvarim. Because in the first ones it was every word was mepi agvur, and the second ones was Moshe Rabbeinu repeating it. So he says divrei Moshe, divrei Hashem muravin. So. Yeah, that's not what Chazal. I mean, it's just long time. It's not what Chazal mean when they say that if a person says, even if one word is motion piatmo, I'm running as a kofra, that means something else. That means because Chazal himself say that the first klolos were in Sefer Vayikra mipi agvura, and the other ones mean pi motion. Again, Chazal differentiate. It means that that if anyone says that Moshe Rabbeinu piatmo amran means that he just said something and it was unauthorized not to be a part of Torah. That's a kofar. That's not pikeros. But that Moshe Rabbeinu said things on his own, that's the pasha that he did. But everything that he said, God told him, he gave Musar, and in Sefer Dvarim, he gave Musar from his own mind, and then God told him, put that into the Torah also. So whatever he did, whatever we have as Taurus Moshe, is God determined that it should be Taurus Moshe. But it doesn't mean that every word in the Torah was initiated by God. A lot of things are initiated by man. But God said, take that statement and it should be part of the Torah. That's what Ibn Ezra is saying. So the second Dibros is the Divrei Moshe of Divrei Hashem Muravin. Of course, he was saying it himself from his own understanding of the Dibros, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him incorporate that, the whole Sefer Dvarim, incorporate whole Sefer Dvarim into Chamish Chumshei Torah. So that's the that's what Chazal means. I explained that once before. The Ibn Ezra says the same thing, but then he goes on. I say like this. He says Dibur Rishon Anochi, and now he gives a klal. Da, he says, Ki Kol Mitzvos Heim Al Beis Drachim. that all the mitzvahs in Torah are in two different ways. Vaderech harishon, the first way is mitzvos shehem netuos mehashem belev.